This is the Q Talk America Radio Network.
Holy crap, look at this. Hour three has joined you. Show already in progress. Hi, it's Clayton McKee along with Kat Carlson.
Hi.
Marnie Rubble. Al Perkins. It's the show on Q Talk America.
Hi, we know that.
The chat room is rolling right along. Yet Nero, Ginny Harrison, Aaron from LA Nero. Is still with us. My mom is in there somewhere. I just haven't heard from her in a few minutes, but I'm sure all is well at Mama's house. The lawn service came today and cleaned up all of her stuff. Everything's
I love it.
Everything's good. And I don't have
Dale's
to go do it.
Yeah, there.
I'm all excited
Jenny
about that.
Man,
it's so exciting for
I
all of these
it.
Things.
I need a lawn human. I was looking at my lawn today, going, why
"I've got
did
a
I
great, I've
you?
Got a great company for you. They are
Hello,
really, really nice." They're really nice people and fair, too.
Valleywide?
Mr. McKee,
sure they are.
I'd like to point something out to you.
Stand by, I got a cue to hit. Ladies and gentlemen, okay. This time it's Entertainment with Al Perkins.
Oh, boy.
Entertainment!
Who that fell down key?
Which key? We're not sure.
Yeah, we're not sure. So we just have a couple of things to talk about. We have the 70mm to talk about. We have So You Think You Can Dance. Probably the movie that has been the most out of touch with American society I've seen in a long time. The series finale of one of my favorite shows. And if you're not watching Game of Thrones, and if you're not listening, Hamilton the podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, Al Perkins.
So we're going to start with Hamilton the podcast. I don't know what it's really called. What's it called?
The Hamilcast.
Hamilcast.
Before you get there, an update on last week's obsession.
Oh, our 811. Yes.
Out,
what is that?
The 811-17 was the introduction of the new Hamilton app.
Oh.
Oh, fuck. Really?
Correct. So through the Hamilton app, thank you for letting me shit on your story.
Thank you.
Through the...
I applaud you.
Denata, Shatter.
I applaud you well for done. Getting in there yep. and just... Yep.
The right. Clearly, I downloaded it the minute it was available. I don't have enough to do in my life, apparently. But through the Hamilton app, if you're in a city that is doing a lottery, you can enter the lottery through the app.
Oh, and it opens at a certain time. I inadvertently signed up for the app because it comes across.
Very exciting. You also get exclusive news. There are also Snapchat-like filters that you can apply Hamilton-themed filters to yourself. There's a very nice one of me out in the world with a nice...
Now I think they're just oversaturating the market.
Listen.
Nope, can't happen. I will
this
not
is a way
you.
Of
fighting
life.
Words.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. I was born this way, bitch.
Isn't that
exactly.
Lady Gaga?
Exactly. Yeah. It doesn't matter because Gaga and Hamilton are going to walk hand in hand someday.
All right.
We're going to see it happen. It's fair. All Hamilton's going to touch everything.
I want to be in the room. And da, 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 da.
See, look, it just happened.
By the way,
it
no.
You're welcome. You're
haven't
welcome.
You, it's called Gamilton.
In any event, that's what that was. On to the Hamilcast. Go, Al Perkins. Back
okay.
to you in studio.
Yeah, back to you in studio. I do have
Let's
to
go,
say
Rain.
The Hamilcast is... It started off really annoying. I can't deny it. Bianca and whatever her name is were just getting on my last fucking
Didn't
nerve.
Didn't they recently like break up and one of them went their separate ways?
Yeah, one of them's been kicked to the curb. Oh. But I do have to say that as it's progressed and things have gone on and now they've been acknowledged by Lin-Manuel Miranda.
LM Squared.
And she just about shit her pants and I had to agree with her that he acknowledged her and what she's doing on Twitter. If for nothing else... I really have to tell you, like, it's an interesting way if you like theater, if you like musical theater, that they're doing interviews with, like, universal swings, which all of us who enjoy musical theater never knew there was such a thing as a universal swing.
Mm-hmm.
And that means you can jump in for any cast member anywhere in the three productions across the country. So you could get a call tomorrow saying, tomorrow you're playing girl number three in L.A. Get on the fucking plane.
What?
And so
what
you
an wow. exciting jet set
you,
lifestyle.
Right. So you get to talk to someone that would never be interviewed. Like, they would interview the star, the potential Tony winner, but you'll never hear interviews with someone who's the third person to play George Washington and hear about his journey to where he is now, that he's in this very established big hit musical,
mm-hmm.
how he manages his times, and, like, her last episode was done between the two performances.
Good night, Harrison.
So you get a really
good night, Harry.
Interesting interview with a performer on a day when they have two shows and how what they do with that time in between giving two gut-wrenching performances yeah. of, like, 6 hours of being on and singing. and this someone takes the time, and it's just interesting. So if I know if you don't like Hamilton because they rap.
I still don't know. I have never listened to the soundtrack.
No, I'm just saying, no, wait, but at least you're saying I've never. There's people that have never heard it.
That was aimed at some other people that we know.
Oh. But it's turned into this very interesting interview of like the craftsmen, the people that you don't usually get to hear from.
The supporting cast.
Yeah. Well, I listened to one episode where I don't remember who it was they were interviewing, but they are that particular person was prepared at any given moment to play up to three different roles and like principal roles.
Oh jeez.
Oh yeah. He was he understudied Burr, Washington, and Jefferson.
And like could do Jefferson on Wednesday and Washington on Thursday and just be ready for that.
Yeah,
that's insane.
And I can't imagine. Well, I mean, maybe I can because of how well I feel like I know the cast recording, but.
So, I would pay money to see you just dropped in.
Just dive in and play Eric.
Here's your character, go, and you've got to just do it.
Do you know how many shows I'm ready to do this for?
Oh, no. Every show produced since 1937. Yeah. I know you are. Any show that's ever touched the boards.
Strap on the penis, take off the penis, put the heels on. It
Hello,
doesn't matter.
Dolly.
I'm ready.
Hello, anybody. Exactly. It's early
Good
modern
morning, Baltimore.
Barnaby, I am ready.
Speaking of which, on Colbert again the other night, Sutton Foster. She was adorable on Colbert.
The woman could not get any cuter.
Just as adorable as she could ever be, and it was just so cute, the interview. And she keeps joking about her Tonys, and it's just so cute.
And she's on a show called Younger.
That's what they were talking about.
So good, and it's just it's a charming.
Cause she's 42, I think, and she's playing a 26-27-year-old. Yeah.
And it's so believable, and it's so much fun to watch. But anyways, if you're going to lucky enough to be in L.A. and you're getting the tour of that came from San Francisco and came to L.A., as with any show that's going to L.A., they have upped the ante, and they have stolen from everywhere to make sure that the cast in L.A.
is a
Because when you do a tour, you want to make sure that you play L.A. The whole reason to do a tour is so that producers,
See
Hollywood
you,
people...
Right.
In the audience.
I would imagine the actors are all clamoring to
play
in LA.
They're clamoring to make
sure
they get LA. And sometimes they'll be like, no, I don't want to be second on Broadway. I'd rather be first in LA and be that. So, Joshua Henry, one of the most talented people who I've had the great good fortune of seeing three times on Broadway and once off Broadway. Very, very talented. And I saw him in Chicago. So, that's off Broadway. I saw him in Chicago as Aaron Burr. And it was one of the most amazing things. They've put him into the LA cast and put him as Aaron Burr. So you get to that performance, which means he may come to Phoenix. So that may be what's coming. What the fuck's her name? Tony Winner for West Side Story.
What is her name? It's
Tony Winner for West Side Story. She was Angelica in Chicago.
Yeah,
gave it her own spin. Karen Olivo.
Right out of my brain.
Brilliant, 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 beautiful singer, dancer, actress. Tony Winner is coming in to play Angelica. And
because she's old in the Heights, too, right?
Yeah, she was in the Heights. So the cast that's coming to L.A., it's not the original cast, but boy, howdy
that's
are
so
you getting
exciting
some
that Karen Olivo's coming to L.A.
But more importantly, Joshua Henry. Let me tell you what he does with Aaron Burr is
different. Let me tell you about Karen Olivo.
Oh, no, because I've seen her twice. I saw her in West Side Story on Broadway, and I saw her in Chicago.
I've seen none of these people in person, but I am very familiar with all of the internet.
Yeah.
And all of the internet.
Joshua Henry, who was from the Scottsboro Boys, and he did he did Violet with Sutton Foster, which that year it didn't get a lot of attention because there was so much on Broadway that year. But Violet, this beautiful musical by the woman who helped write Thoroughly Modern Millie and adapted it. This was a revival of hers. And it was Sutton Foster and Joshua Henry. And it was one of the most beautifully sung, beautifully acted shows I have ever seen. And it just got overwhelmed by all the other things that were on that year. But it was one of the most moving performances, and I was like, this guy. And I saw him in The Wiz at City Center Encores, and every time I've seen him, I'm like, this guy again. Who is he? He's like that Joshua Lerman, that actor, that I'm like, wait, take note, Logan Lerman.
Cumberbatch!
Yeah, Logan Lerman, that's the one that whenever I see him, I'm like, that kid, that guy, him, watch him. So anyways, watch this space. So
nice. You've probably told the story before in regards to you said Thoroughly Modern Millie. I had never heard it or it never just resonated with me. The story of how Sutton got to be where she is.
The rumor is, and I've never actually heard who was supposed to be Millie in the old Globe in San Diego, but Christian Chenoweth is the name that comes up the most often, that she dropped out and Sutton Foster got plucked from the chorus. Even though she wasn't a complete unknown, she had played...
That's not the story she told.
She had played Fontaine or Fontaine. I dated someone named Fontaine, and then Fontaine is from the musical. I don't know the difference. Mm. But she had played big roles before on Broadway. She was in the old Globe, and she was called up from the chorus and became Millie and then went right to Broadway. Everyone thought they would replace her with a big star, and she was so good at the old Globe that she went to Broadway and won the Tony.
Different story that she told.
How did she
Similar,
go?
But different. Show was already on Broadway. She was an understudy.
No, old Globe. She... Look,
it was already on stage. Let me say that.
Yeah,
already on stage.
At the old Globe in San Diego.
And she was understudy for the person and got a call that they were out sick or did something, whatever, and came in and they're like, oh, that person's never coming back because they...
Right, and that's it. At the old Globe, because every show premieres somewhere. Like the Donna Summer Musical, Jersey Boys are going to premiere at the old Globe. Hairspray, I think, came from Seattle. Everything comes from somewhere. They play some out-of-town date to prep. So she was at the old Globe. She got called up, and the rumor is that
Hold
it's
on.
Christian
Chenoweth. The early modern Millie was at La Jolla Playhouse, not the old Globe.
Oh, La Jolla Playhouse.
She was in What the World Needs Now at the old Globe prior to the early modern Millie. She had already been on Broadway in
Les Miserables.
Greece.
And Les Miserables.
And Les Mis.
And she was Fontaine.
No, she was touring Les Mis.
But she played a big role.
She was Eponine.
Eponine.
Touring. But she was touring.
She's younger. That's true. She wouldn't be the old lady.
No, not yet. She left Les Mis to be in the ensemble of the pre-Broadway run of Thoroughly Modern Millie at La Jolla Playhouse. However, Christian Chenoweth backed out, and somebody else turned down the job. Aaron Dilley turned down the job, and Foster eventually took the role of Millie. During a Millie hiatus, she appeared in Godspeed Musicals. And what the Three Musketeers and South Pacific, and then back to Millie on Broadway.
Yeah, and everyone thought that when it transferred to Broadway, everyone thought she would be replaced because she wasn't a big enough name, but she was so good. And I just happened to be in New York and got a ticket and sat by myself, and I had never heard of her. I'd never seen her, never heard of her. And I was by myself, and the guy that next to me was by himself. And we were almost holding hands. I'm like, is this like the biggest star we're ever going to see in our lifetime? And we were both like just slack-jawed at like, what can't this woman do? Oh. Smile of Carol Burnett and Mary Tyler Moore. Like, there was so much just charisma coming off the stage from her. And like, my titties get hard just thinking about it. Honest to God, when she got to the 11 o'clock number and she sang Gimme Gimme, it just stopped the show. By the time she stood center stage and just sang Gimme Gimme to the crowd... We went batshit. We lost our collective minds, and it stopped the show cold. And we were all just like, I don't know who she is, but she's the biggest thing I've ever... Like, it felt like you were watching a star be born. Like, it really was that...
And that's where her first Tony came from.
I was saying, it kind of
Oh, and you knew it when you knew when you saw it. How can you not give back
her
this
first
love?
Tony nom and win from
and
that
win.
Role.
Yeah, and from a role that they thought she would get away with. Okay, the most tone-deaf thing I have seen in a long, long time. Kind of a funny movie called Landline. It's What's-Her-Butt from SNL, the one that said fuck on her first time on and kind of disappeared.
So not Kate McKinnon.
Not Kate McKinnon. I gotta look this.
I have seen a lot of complaints about this. About
no.
being
no,
kind
no,
of
no,
like...
Leslie Jones, but I can see how you think that.
Let me get there and get you her name, because she's a producer on the movie, and she was really good in the last... Obvious Child was the last movie that she made. Jenny Slate is her name. So it's Jenny Slate. She said the F-bomb on her first time on SNL. Mm-hmm. And she was only there for one season.
Yeah,
well. But she made a movie with this guy. The director's name is Gillian Robespierre. She made a movie called Obvious
Sounds like
Child.
A porno.
Yeah. Gillian she made a movie Robespierre. Called Obvious Child that's really good. So I was really hoping this would be good. It's Edie Falco, Jenny Slate, John Turturro, and Edie Falco has rarely been better. Like, the performances in this movie are really good. It's kind of funny, but it is the most tone-deaf, white-privileged, oh my god, these are horrible people movie I've ever... Like, I was, like, squirming in my chair. Like, there's a part where her little sister is being arrested for a heroin deal, and she's worried about the fact that she cheated on her husband. And no one in the family acknowledges this girl just stole money from someone's locker, got busted during a heroin deal, ran away, and no one told her parents where she was, is like having sex and leaving the house, but they give her a car because she's got Oprah-like wisdom. What? The reward for being this horrible 16-year-old is... She got a car, and why are you so wise? She's not wise. She's a fucking doing heroin and stealing money from people's locker, and there is absolutely no one acknowledges anything that this girl is doing. And she's not the star of the movie. She's the secondary character, but the main character is so obsessed with the wrong things and so self-involved and grotesque, which is Jenny Slate, who's usually really good, and she's a producer on the movie, so you'd think you'd be like, shouldn't we acknowledge the heroin problem over here? Or the white girl that's making people steal things out of stealing cash. Like, it was gross. Like, honestly, grotesque.
What's her name again? I'm sorry.
Jenny Slate. And she's very funny. An Obvious Child, their last movie together, was very good. Very, very good. This was just so out of touch and such a white people problem. Like, you just finished it and you're like, people should be picketing this movie. Like, this is exactly white people privilege. Like, people are in jail for years and prison over pot, and this girl is stealing money from people's locker and is getting arrested for a heroin bust and gets a car bought for her. It was awful. We talked about Dunkirk last week and seeing it in 70mm. Spend the money, go see it in 70mm. If anybody's still showing it, oh my God, what a whole different movie. Beautiful, 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 beautiful. It turns out if they film in 70mm and you go see it in 70mm, no one charges you anything extra and you don't get many previews because... they have to do it on a projector. So you can actually hear the projector, which is a little bit distracting because it's run through a projector. That's not digital. And it's beautiful. And there was only two previews before the movie, or possibly three, because there's only three movies that are on a projector. They can't load 19,000 previews and let's go to the lobby. Mm-hmm. That's not in there. So that
was good
times. I
do like that song.
I'm trying to do this fast because I like my thoughtful vulgarity question.
Well done. Carrot and the stick.
And the last
Carrot
thing was
the
season finale was either this past Saturday or the Saturday before, series finale, not season finale, of Orphan Black. Mm. They went the lost way of heavy on mythology, of where you're like, Jesus Christ, you know, like the Lord of the Rings bullshit with who the fuck knows what's going on now, those trees are walking. But they wrapped that shit up. They wrapped up the storylines, they settled old scores, they got it done. And it's probably doubtful that Tatiana Maslany will get nominated for an Emmy next year because it just ended now and the voting season is like
a year away. Right.
She may be forgotten, but honestly, the fact that sometimes you forget you're watching one actress play five different roles, it just boggles the mind. And it was just so well done and just very emotional, very fun. And it was nice. Five seasons, maybe 50 episodes, possibly as many as 60, but just... quality TV that had a couple bumps here and there, but very few. Nothing's perfect. But wow, what a well done show, and sad to see that go away because she probably will never have a role that complex or that many roles that complex again. But you hope that somebody finds something to do with this actress because she is just amazing. And the fact that you like all seven characters and they're played by one actress and you honestly do fall through the hole and forget. Because they're so good. And you have your favorites. That's the best part, is when you have your favorite clone. Yeah.
In reference to entertainment, I have a little flashback to Obsession from hour one. And I completely forgot about this, and I don't know what was said that made me remember it. I have been a little obsessed with watching the videos that Sean Hayes has been posting of being on set for Will and Grace filming. He walked all through the soundstage, showed the set, parts that they couldn't show. Grace's office has been expanded because obviously it's 10 years down the road, you know.
So hopefully her business
would think her business would have grown.
Now, based on her assistant.
So, right. In spite of Karen Walker.
Or really her talent as a designer, because let's be honest.
He was walking around you know, talking to all the different people. It was very cute. But he drove on set, drove to his parking space, and just saying hi to people, just walking around with somebody was behind him.
Somebody was filming. Yeah,
I just thought it was very cute that he is so excited about all of this and getting back to work with that cast and everything that's going on. That was kind of a little mini obsession for me this week, or this past week, watching him stuff.
And on top of that, if you are eagerly awaiting the new season of Will and Grace, last week on YouTube, NBC and Will and Grace dumped highlights from every season.
They've got clips
from, and they're arranged in like seasons. So it's like season one, like you get the cute clip where Jack and Karen first meet.
Right.
You get the one from like season six where they're on the cruise and Jack and Will like wake up and think that they slept together. Right. Yeah, like there are so many, and they dumped them all at once. I'm overwhelmed.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But yeah, go cruise through YouTube. You can take walks down memory lane with some greatest hits.
If you are like me and you bought all eight seasons of Will and Grace on DVD because you needed it, every season came with a dance montage, an outtakes montage. Oh. Like there was four or five montages, and there's one episode where Karen has to stand up and like give some speech, and no one can make it through it. Like just the way she's done and does her thing, it knocks out everybody. And you have to imagine she had to have done it alone in a dark room that she finally got through it, because the extras can't take no one can take it. Awesome. Like just the standing up and her boobs flying and the hair jiggling on her head. Like there's just no part of that you can watch.
That's funny.
And it was so quick and funny. You're like, that probably took like an hour and a half
just for the one little thing.
And one of the best things was Whoopi Goldberg had a sitcom for a half a second during the run of Will and Grace, and they joke about going to see it. And they're like, nobody has that kind of time. It takes them like 10 hours to film that thing. Funny little inside jokes, but it's just so exciting to know that they're coming back.
They're coming
for two seasons.
Yeah. I know they got renewed already.
They got renewed already, and they're putting that Tina Fey show about the news station, which I'm going to catch up on.
After it,
they're pairing it for must see. They're trying to get must see TV back.
Get Thursday nights back.
Yeah. Oh, and the last thing, So You Think You Can Dance. If you're not watching, watch. One of the best competition shows on TV. The dancing is magnificent every single year. My boyfriend Robert, the all star, not the contestant, although he's lovely too. But my boyfriend Robert is back. Dreamy.
Got it. Are we, I forget, are we two things?
We can do two things. We have plenty of time, yeah.
Boys and girls, it's time again for our dear friend, Kat Carlson.
Two things is what she brings. Two things is what she's talking about. Two things, important little things. That is what she's spouting out.
You just need two things.
That means two things.
Let's get two things clear.
And then two things about yourself.
And I've come to share with you one of two things. No, two of two things. We're sharing two things right now.
There are only two things I can't stand in this world.
Quick, grab two things you love.
It can be two things.
Only two things in the world I'm scared of.
Rise of frazzled two things.
Remember two things.
I believe in two things.
Guys are only after two things.
What's better, doing two things at once or just one?
Never half-ass two things. Whole-ass one thing.
Ladies and gentlemen, Kat Carlson.
So, I scoured the internet on a fairly daily basis for a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. Sometimes for this show, sometimes for other things. But I'm pretty familiar with all the things. And unfortunately, this week, the news out of North Carolina was inescapable. And so, two things is really one thing, but two things, but one thing. And here are the two things. A Nazi flag and a pride flag. Mm-hmm. There is no way in the world to
conflate them,
right? You cannot compare. That's a false equivalence. You cannot. Anybody that tries to is really just a Nazi supporter. Like
Where did that comparison come from? Yeah. I haven't heard that.
I haven't either.
It's been because I'm a social media fighter.
Oh, I understand.
Because my thumbs type pretty fast. Mm-hmm. And actually, there's even an article about it. Wait, let me see if it's still
and
right
an interview.
Here.
There's an interview with a guy with the Nazi flag.
Really?
I had not heard this little snippet.
Yeah, hang on just 2 seconds. Where's the gay section?
Okay. Right here around the table.
So it may or may not have originated from a Fox News guest. I don't know if it originated there or if it made its way up there. I don't know.
Or down there, depending on how you look at it. Yeah.
But a guest on Fox and Friends, the shittiest show in the world.
Trump's favorite.
Far and away.
Said that the Confederate flag and the pro-gay rights rainbow flag represent the exact same thing.
Oh.
Yep.
That's interesting.
Star Parker, conservative commentator and author, appeared on the morning show to speak about the Charlottesville events and just compared the Confederate flag. Oh, I'm sorry, the Confederate flag, not the Nazi flag. To the Rainbow Pride flag. It's the same thing. They're just not.
No.
They're
no.
just not. And she's trying to say that the Pride flag is expressing that certain people are not welcome here. Like, gays only.
That's why it's the rainbow.
You're missing...
Inclusive.
...the point entirely.
All colors are welcome here.
Entirely. But you know what? We're living in this world of, like... false equivalents and logical fallacies and the whatabouts. As soon as somebody starts like a counter argument with, yeah. well, what about? Mm-mm. No. Now you're just trying to take me off topic.
Yeah. We're dealing with this issue, right. this president.
This is the thing. Yeah. This is, yeah. Not what about how long it took America to get into World War II. That's not a thing. First of all,
it is Dunkirk.
I mean, it's a thing, but it doesn't have anything to do with this.
No, not even a tiny bit.
Not at all to do with this.
Right.
You know what I mean? You cannot argue in, well, what about?
Right.
You know what I mean? I just broke my foot. Well, what about that lady over there? She broke her hip. I don't give a fuck about her. My foot's broken. This is the thing.
Right.
Like and I don't know how to get out of this because unfortunately we've like systemically and systematically dismantled the public education system so nobody knows any different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? We don't know that we're being led down a wrong path. And it's a really dangerous thing, but it's
or
been
people
kind
say
of...
things like "I'll never use algebra again," and they delete things from their brain that yeah, you do need that again. That's gonna come up.
You sure do use
how
algebra.
How your government works is gonna come up.
I should hope.
Oh,
so.
Yeah,
it's supposed to.
Yeah, how your government works, your civics lessons.
Because as it
your
turns
history,
out, when we ignore them for a generation and a half, this is the result.
Yeah, this kind of shit comes back to haunt you.
This is what happens when. You know what I mean?
Everybody... When you don't remember that in the 1960s, the Freedom Riders, not Freedom Writers, they're two different things.
Right.
But the Freedom Riders were being
not the Michelle
bombed
Pfeiffer movie.
And right, sure. There's a Freedom. No, not Michelle Pfeiffer. The girl boy from Boys Don't Cry.
Hillary
Swank is Freedom Writers.
Mm-hmm. No, I was talking Dangerous Minds.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But there is a Freedom Riders, but Freedom. Riders are the ones that fought for the vote and got like dogs and hoses and beaten and set on fire. That happened in the 60s. That's not 1860. That's right. 1960. And because people ignore that, they think, oh, this is ancient history. Why are you worried about this? No, this is the 60s.
Right.
Like this shit just happened. We're not even two generations away from what you're talking about. But because people don't pay attention in school, or people say, like, oh, you'll never need that again. It's not important. It kind of is. It really kind of is.
No, the fact that you can just, like, dismiss entire batches of learning, like, freaks me out.
Yeah, and that a 70-year-old doesn't understand.
Yeah, so...
But it's going around the internet today.
No, I know, but it is. Originally.
No. I mean, the thing that I saw was a guy that was being interviewed about his Nazi flag, and he's like, well, you fly a rainbow flag outside your house... That's the same thing. No, yours was about excluding a group of people. This one is saying welcome.
Mm-hmm. You're right.
That people are welcome. Right. Yours is saying people aren't welcome.
My flag is saying we're here, we're queer. Is it brunch yet?
Yeah. And why do I gotta sit inside like an asshole?
Why is that mimosa so orange?
Yeah.
Right.
Are those bottomless mimosas?
I like a mimosa I can see through. Mimosa.
Can we use an eyedropper for the orange juice? Like, that's what I really... Right. That's what we're talking about.
It's like the vermouth and a martini. Yeah. Just show me where it is.
And just smell it and we're good.
Yeah.
So yeah, my two things is really just one thing.
One big thing.
One big thing.
And these
thing.
Are college and just, educated in the process of college education.
I think educated is a tough word.
But this is what you're coming out of college. That's what you're going to come out of college with, is that I was at a white supremacist rally in my skinny jeans with a Starbucks coffee and a Kentucky Hut torch, and I can't figure out why I can't get a job. I'm going to blame Obama for the fact that I can't get a job, not the fact that I stood outside of a church screaming things at worshippers. Like
threatening people and waving a torch.
And waving a torch. But they're not going to see
freedom of speech.
Also,
because no one has taught them that there are consequences to freedom of speech.
Right. Also, while they were at Home Depot, did they just pass by the pitchforks, or were they too expensive?
Probably too expensive. They were eco-friendly.
If you're going to be a cliche.
They went right past the wood and the whole thing as well.
They went at a gently woven something, rather. And that brings up a great point. How can you participate in a democratic process when you don't know how democracy works? That is the absolute truth.
From a man who lives in the biggest democracy in the world.
Right. From the, the largest democracy in the world. And I have to say, like, when people were all like, what the fuck happened in 2000 with the, when people in November of 2000 found out what the, Electoral College was, and you saw those people blank face, like, what? How does that happen? Yep. Well, it was in your fucking high school history class that you decided to
delete. Learn anything about Chads.
Right.
Damn it, they didn't teach us about
Chads. Now, Chads, that's a whole other thing in state.
Dangling.
Different state laws. But if, seriously, like,
when is it weird that I distrust all people named Chad?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
No, I don't think so.
That's fair.
But are you just hanging around?
It's chatting the shit out of people
it's
named
one
Chad.
Of those, it's fair. One of those things that as the conversation progressed in 2000 and you heard all these people being like, well, what the hell is that? You are a high school graduate.
Allegedly.
Like, this is something they went over in detail. Like, that's a big part of what you go over.
I'm not going to lie. I didn't remember.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they didn't, I mean, remember what I wore on the fifth day of school. But that was something that, like, I have a very long memory. And I don't remember them talking about those things.
Times that you need someone to be like, pay the fuck attention. This shit's going to come up. And it's why civics classes are so important. If you can take a civics class and find out how your local government works, you're going to be the richer for it. Like, I'm just telling you.
True.
Yeah.
So two things was really a rant.
Okay, it's a rant. It's fine. Do you feel better? Do you feel a little better?
I mean, a little bit.
Well, is that it? Did I win?
Well, we're going to go into this segment because Al's got something he wants to talk about. Al,
weird. Just you want more to talk about?
Live intro, Al.
I'm asking questions.
Oh, I see. Very nice.
You know how it is.
I do.
2 hours and 40 minutes after alcohol is
and large amounts of coffee.
And big amounts of coffee from opinionated people. Yeah. Something comes up that should be taboo or shouldn't talk about, like religion or politics.
We're not
afraid to do that. Why not?
Well, let's.
What could possibly go wrong?
Let's find out.
So my question on this topic is, and it came up recently during a very honest...
During a torch protest.
Yes, exactly. You know...
So is that a tiki party?
Well, you can't protest...
Don't start those kind of things. Don't
protest
start
all
with that
the time. I'm just saying. Sometimes you got to drink the coffee and enjoy your skinny jeans and have a little conversation.
Oh, I can't enjoy my skinny jeans.
But something about the Bee Gees, the before gays, came up...
Stay alive. Stay alive.
All right. It's serious.
It came up in conversation about gay weddings in this topic that I've been kind of like focusing with gay friends that I have. Like, did you know each other financially? Like, did you have any idea of like what you're marrying into? Like, can you buy a house now that one of you has fucked up credit and does shitty things? So, and this may pertain more to us than to you from a slightly younger generation, but when did you realize that gays could be an actual couple? Like, it wasn't just fucking.
Oh, I see where you're going with that.
Yeah, because I wasn't going that way.
So I...
wasn't just hooking up. Like, when did you realize, they can actually be partners in life and, like, have a life together?
So my first interaction with anyone gay, like TV, example.
TV doesn't count.
Yeah. I had never seen it on TV. So
I'd seen Tony Randall, so I assumed.
Right.
No, I mean, people may remember, I say this all the time, that I didn't know that gay was a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For a long time until I met two women that I ended up, they were coworkers of mine at a construction company.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine that.
My money was on a softball game, but that's pretty close.
Softball game or a Subaru dealership? I wasn't
sure. But no, and they were two women considerably older than I am. They were...
if you Clayton's say 47, yeah. I'm going to knock your ass out.
No, at the time I was 18, 19, and at the time, I guess she still is, the eldest of the couple was the same age as my mother.
Uh-huh.
So she would now be 60, okay. Something.
That's
no, my parents were born in the 50s. Shh. My parents are baby boomers.
Hush, little Catherine, don't say a word.
Don't Catherine me.
We're going to punch in
the... remember that part in Die Hard where the villains...
So my first example of
Alan Rickman the shit out of you
of real life lesbians was a couple that had been together for a long time. They raised kids together, and they were actually in the process of breaking up, which was horrible and awkward for everybody that worked with them.
Well, it's hard to do.
Yeah.
It
is.
They say.
Yeah. So I think out of the gate, that was kind of my example and expectation.
Mm-hmm.
Was that, you know, they live together for a long time and then do horrible things to each other for about 2 years until they get over it and become friends again.
Yep.
Yeah. Just like regular people.
Right, exactly. Exactly. Yeah.
That's how Johnny Carson did it.
Multiple times. Multiple times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that the gay community and just being gay was not, first about hookups for me. That was always kind of the example was
yeah, and the ladies may come from a different perspective too. I mean, doesn't have to be just age that may differentiate the answer.
So
now an aged woman will speak.
I remember the first gay guy that I met.
She's still younger than me.
No, I like how throwing food at me is somehow bad.
The fact that you can't catch it is shocking.
Yeah, no. Gays can't
catch. Like
the
he's
removal.
A...
Yeah, right.
So gays don't catch. We probably could. We just don't try.
Yeah. There are some stereotypes that are just true.
Yeah.
Pretend you're a seal
riding along on a bike with a bottle of rosé in your purse and a baguette. That's a true stereotype. Saw that today.
And track lighting. I don't know how he has
you
lighting.
Today?
Yeah.
Oh my. Anyway, when I first came out, the people that I kind of flocked to that I the old birds of a feather. They were all
playing softball.
Totally. Yeah, that's really true. But they had all been in relationships for quite a while. And so I was 19, and they were mid 20s to later 20s, and I just kind of fell in with them, and they were like, oh, little baby dyke, let's make sure that, you know, she's protected and whatever.
Yeah.
And the guys that I met were very similar. Granted, just like with any, doesn't matter, gay, straight, black, white, pink, purple, whatever, there definitely were people that were just running around and talking about sex, and the people that were more blatant about it, where you didn't think, if you didn't have a picture of people being together and didn't know, I mean, it really, the gay guys gave a real bad
spin on that.
Spin on it.
Yeah.
I mean, because it was...
I'm sure they would prefer spit on it, but spin on it sounds
well,
good, too.
Well, they may have discussed that.
We've been awfully specific tonight.
Yeah. I know, we really have.
But
blame it on the coffee. Yeah.
I didn't know.
But it really was one of those, like, women will be dirty and, you know, whatever, and kind of talk about other women and whatnot, but it was the sex, like the real sexually explicit kind of stuff that the guys got into talking about that made it seem like there wasn't any relationships. Like, there was just so...
Well, guys are always trying to... Like, they do with any fucking story. Not any fucking story, but any story right. they try to tell. It's, you know, their car's better. They're you know, right. their route run from the law was faster and it took longer. And the gunshot they did was longer. You know, they exaggerate everything.
Right.
So I'm going to guess they're trying to one-up each other. Absolutely. With regards to their sex stories. Whether or not it's factual,
right,
actual, or even satisfactual, yeah, it doesn't matter. They're just going to try to outdo each other by right, telling these stories, and maybe the women don't give a shit.
Well, so, and it was all about shock value, I think.
The right, conquest, yeah. There's, yeah.
It really became
notch
like
in the belt kind of thing.
And how...
Gotta get a new belt.
I don't even know, right. I don't even know if it was about offending people. It was just like, how far can I push this? But when you ran into the gentleman that had been together for a long time, like, they just, like, with anybody. I mean, they just didn't need to do that. So, so in answer to the actual question, 19, like, okay, I knew when I was 19 that that could be a thing. But I can absolutely see how people would see it otherwise.
Yeah.
Because of how it was presented.
And I came out very young. You know what I mean? I came out at 15. Did. I was, you know, was already having a sexual relationship. But I didn't have an idea that it could go somewhere. Like, I just hoped, well, I hope we keep having sex. Because right, that's really good. Right. That's firing on all cylinders. Right. Good time for me. Good time for you. Let's keep doing that. But I never
and
thought of it.
Even if you're not happy, good time for me.
Good time for me.
I don't
you
care
seem
about
to have
you.
Been there. Yeah.
Thanks for participating.
Yeah.
I don't know that that's a natural expectation of a teenage boy, though. You know what I mean? And to be planning the, uh-huh, the right, white wedding but and all of that.
But the girls have the hope chest, and they're sitting there waiting for their, when will my prince charming or princess charming?
That's, yeah, that's also partly, yeah, how we socialize our children and how, yeah, we, right, how we imprint that upon them.
And that's very true. And
guys are supposed to be players in a lot of ways.
We don't expect a whole lot out of, mm-hmm, out of our male children, no, until they're... like 30.
Yeah, right. You're right.
So, I mean, and that's a good, sure, thing to hear because I honestly never
I
saw
get
it as
ready,
something.
You've only got a few days.
Your boyfriend's almost there.
oh, no. I mean, for me, I'm almost 30.
I know. No, but we really don't. We don't expect a lot of accountability. We don't expect right, a lot of responsibility. Right. We don't expect a lot of achievement. Out of
monogamy, anything.
Out of, I mean, male children. Yeah. No, we certainly don't until you're grown and then, you know, have a house, mm-hmm, and a family of your own. And then, by God, everything rests on your poor, yeah, shoulders. But
yeah, yeah,
and up until then, sure, you've got no kind of responsibility.
Yeah.
You
up
can
until
rape
she gets
and pillage.
Up, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You don't have to be accountable for...
And
seriously.
It was a question about a guy that I was fooling around with my senior year and, like, having a lot of sex with my senior year. And somebody was like, oh, so you were a couple. I was like, you know, I honestly don't know that I had that thought or thought it was a possibility. You know what I mean? Okay. And then I met someone. Someone's like, oh, aren't you and he together? And I'm like, well, we fuck, but I don't know what, like, I really couldn't, make that in my mind be two men
but
or
did you
women.
Guys ever spend time together not outside? Fucking?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yes.
Okay,
because we went on dates. We went on dates, yeah, and stuff like that, and did like one of the most, the one guy was one of the most romantic dates I've ever been on. We went to relive it at the Fort Niagara a couple of weeks ago, but it really was one of those things where I didn't see anything beyond, well, we're going to have sex a lot, but it wasn't, yeah, like, and we're going to eventually find out about our
house,
credit scores,
and
we're
going
to, you know
right,
what I mean?
Right.
Like, when I came out, the joy of being gay was there's no marriage, there's no kids, and they're not even a threat.
Do
you
remember,
know what I mean?
He talked about that on the show.
Yeah. Like,
oh, I'd say I would be on the same, yeah, page as you. Yeah. I'm like, well, I don't have to worry about anything.
That shit. Like, right. I don't need to know what your credit is because I'm believing your ass.
And I guess probably similar to you, I never worried about anybody else's, you know, what was in their silo of shit, because I'm like, well, that's going to be your silo
hello,
of shit.
Yeah.
I'll have mine. We'll commingle, but...
And the best our silos are going to get, right, is like 2 blocks away. Right.
You got to... And I'll support you. I'll help you. I would support you by while you deal with your silo.
Yeah.
But leave my silo alone. And by the way, don't come visit my silo.
Yeah. And don't think I'm lowering down to your silo
right,
level.
No.
How did I get lost in this farm metaphor? But I have to say that it was many years later. It was probably after I moved to Arizona. So I was like almost 20 when I met someone who was like, we're a couple. And then like they were a couple. And that was something you had to deal with. And then someone cheated. And then I was still 19, and I watched the ramifications of this. These people that identified as a couple, which was completely new to me, and one was Muslim, and one, like, it was like this whole eye-opening experience of, like, other religions, other cultures, who you had to hide from, who you had to be open with, that I had never seen before, and they were a couple, and they were together, and there was cheating, and then you just watched it fall apart, and I'm like... Okay, so that's something that you can strive for, achieve, and then really fuck up.
Yeah.
And then, like, probably another 6 years later, I met a couple that had been together faithfully. They got together when they were older. I think they were both in their late 30s, early 40s. They became a couple. They raised their children together. They made grandchildren. They had grandchildren that they shared. And it was just an amazing thing to see the other side of that. Mm-hmm. People that made it work. And that was really, Bob and I can't remember what his husband's name was. But, you know, and they
Mo
were talking.
Mo and Bob?
No. It was Bob. I love them. Were the sweetest people. Yeah. And to think that they had done monogamy. They had done the raising of children. They had done combining their assets. Right. They had found a way to, like, legally make it work so they could be at each other's side till death do they part without any of the legalities. But the fact that they would tell stories about their children, and they called them our children, like, and they were, I knew them in their 60s to early 70s, their children in their 40s, and everyone was just, this is how life is. And that was the first time I'd ever seen, like, oh, we can what's her face? Paul Newman and whatever her name is.
Joanne Woodward.
Like, we can just make this work for a lifetime. I'd never seen it. And it really, like, it's just rare. So it was a very eye-opening experience, and a part of, I think, the culture that I'm the tail end of, just being, oh, I don't know, that could happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I can see that.
Well, as I had stated, I think it would be in the similar camp as you, because before, when I, you know, in 93, when I came out, I was like, well, that wasn't an option. Yes, you could be together, but you were still, none of that legal stuff came into effect. You'd have to worry about, well, I'd say you didn't have to worry about it, but I guess it really wasn't a focal point of all that stuff because of, it wasn't legal. There was not a legal anything. So I think that's part of it. Now, I will add to that, when I first was out in the scene and around all those people, there were a few older couples that were couples, but I guess I didn't really focus on them so much because I wasn't around them a lot. I just knew of them. They were here, they were there. But a couple of the couples that I was around a lot weren't real strong couples. Mm. And it was more of a, they were together, everybody knew they were together, blah, blah, blah. There had been a ceremony, not legal, I mean, but there had been some sort. But there were still, one was doing one thing, one was doing another, and yet they still gave the image of the couple. So I didn't have a lot of, like, I'm like, well, that's certainly not a role model.
No.
But what about
looking at the, because I don't know that it's just about gay couples. I mean, if you have straight couples that are in your life that are not super together, right? Or not faithful, or not this or not that. I mean, if that's what you have to go by, or not super loving.
I think the difference is that straight people have examples that of that.
Right,
well,
right.
And examples.
Right, absolutely.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
No, but I'm saying
that also
if
wasn't
we
the question.
Look. No. I'm saying if we, just as gay folks, are looking at what we have around us and the relationships that are around us, and that's what we have to go by. And not about gay or straight, but just about people together, lasting relationships.
I wasn't looking up to Ron and Nancy as who'd been married forever as being the shining star of who I wanted to be.
Oh, Jesus, yeah.
Absolutely.
No.
But I mean, but that's one example of a people who were together forever.
Yep.
That couple, I mean, you don't look, there's a lot of people, there was a lot of shining. I mean, back in the day, it was the Huxtables. I mean, really, can I have a...
And now
we see how that turned out.
It's amazing. She was awake.
Well, she had lines to deliver.
Yeah, that's right.
Felicia had lines to deliver.
Yes.
But, I even now, though I think it would be fantastic, I'm still not...
That's sweet, Annette.
I guess I'm still not really hopeful for it, but I think part of that's just because I'm older, and I'm like, I don't have time for your shit.
Well, and it came up with me because I was asked by some friends, like, you know, we've never known you in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, that's really not my bag, you know?
Yeah.
I'm in it for the doing it, and then I'm like, you gots to go. Like, mama need her alone time.
Because my
like, mother. And then I had to say that, but it comes from a deep-rooted history of, like, yeah, it's time to go home. Like, I'll obsess over you for a while, and you can stay for a while, but eventually I'm going to need to watch Laverne and Shirley. You know what I mean? And I don't need your input.
Was that a...
That's not a metaphor. Peter.
I know the DeFazio family really well.
A metaphor. Yeah. Right.
And I don't need your input.
The DeFazios and Feenies and I are very close.
And coming from, and like, I never saw a divorce until, like, I saw one divorce until I was like 17 years old. Like, I didn't know any divorce. Like, none of my friends had divorced parents. I didn't. There was no. There was one divorce, and it was like a contemporary. It was somebody who was like my generation, was the first divorce I'd ever seen. So it's not like I don't have examples of people staying together and like working it out. I just, you know what I mean? So then there's just a disconnect that when I thought I punched the gay card, I thought that meant like no marriage,
freedom,
no kids.
Yeah, freedom.
I got my own.
You got a gift for what you take.
Yeah. So I mean, it's just odd. So that's.
But isn't that something you ever wanted? At all?
Maybe once with one person. I was like, yeah, I'd like to see this one out.
Okay.
But, you know, he's a Trump supporter, so. Mm-hmm. Good that that ended. Yeah.
Good thing. You'd have to kill him.
Really fucking good. How that my God.
Well, on that note.
Light a torch, man. That'd be awful.
Stick a pin.
Incidentally,
in
I'm stowing go seating.
There's that. Just enough to hide a body.
Separately, they weigh the most.
Exactly. Also, I'm willing to help. I'll help.
I'd like to thank everybody in the chat room for joining as you do each and every week. Thanks everybody,
guys,
for being there.
Yeah, it was good to see you back.
Remember, if you're hearing this segment of the show, there are two other hours you can download and listen. They're broke up into three different segments, so you don't have to suffer through it all in one sitting. It's easy for you and challenging for us, but hey, you're welcome.
Daughter,
we're here to
Judy.
Please.
All that, everything. Anywho, thank you all for being here on this lovely Tuesday here in the room with me. It's lovely to have seen three of you. Well, all of you. It's all good.
I'm not sure which one he wasn't happy to see.
As we wrap up tonight's show, let's leave you with this parting thought. We will
see you next Tuesday!